Anyway, I wanted to talk on a very important topic. It's called, you might have heard the topic before. I don't know. Some maybe yes, some no. It's about, I guess the way people usually refer to the topic is called Lashon Hara. Right? Now, Lashon Hara should be, it's a little surprising that you don't hear more about the topic because, after all, the yeshiva is called Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim. And the reason why it's called Yeshivas Chafetz Chaim is because there is a connection to the Chafetz Chaim. Right? Rav David was the Chafetz Chaim's great nephew. He wasn't a nephew, he was a great nephew. But he actually learned with the Chafetz Chaim B'Chavrusa. I remember in Israel, Rabbi Rakov spoke at the Shloshim, at the Yartzeit Rav David. He said, Rav David considered himself one of the few real Talmidim in the Chafetz Chaim, because the Chafetz Chaim was basically busy. Chafetz Chaim, there was a yeshiva Radin, but the Chafetz Chaim was not the Rosh Yeshiva. Chafetz Chaim started the yeshiva, and he maybe funded the yeshiva, but he did not on a daily basis run it. He gave it over to other people. So he didn't give shiurim in the yeshiva, or shmuzim really, maybe. In his house, he gave shmuzim sometimes. But there was a mashkiach and there was a yeshiva. But Rav David learned with Rav Chafetz Chaim privately. They were the mishaburas. So he was a very close Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. I know when I was in Israel, we went to visit a certain gadol. His name was Avram Grzinski. It's the same name as his uncle, who was a mashkiach of Salbaka. He learned in Europe. And he told us, you know, that he remembered Rav David from Europe, which is pretty amazing because Rav David left Europe in 1927. So he said he remembered Rav David. Rav David was an older Bacher. He was a younger Bacher. And he said Rav David told him, he said that since he was a Bar Das, he never spoke Lashon Hara. So like he was like amazed. He says like, it's one thing to never speak Lashon Hara, which is also pretty good. But to be able to say with conviction, you know I never spoke Lashon Hara. That's even better. So apparently, Rav David was very big in not speaking Lashon Hara. That was, it makes sense. Chafetz Chaim, that's, you read the Sefer in the Chafetz Chaim, that's what he seems to talk about all the time. It seems the Chafetz Chaim felt that that's like the major issue that a person is supposed to be working on. And David was a close Talmud of the Chafetz Chaim. He named his yeshiva after the Chafetz Chaim, right? So you would think that in Yeshiva Chafetz Chaim, there's a very, very strong emphasis on not speaking Lashon Hara. So I don't know. I can't explain why we don't talk about it more. You know, we do talk about it a little bit, but you would think that it would be really emphasized very, very strongly. I don't know. I can ask my grandpa that question. I don't know. But the Maisa, I think Padara the answer is, but I keep telling people that Rashiva's style of shmuzim, he only spoke about topics that they were chidushim on. So doesn't mean, because people always ask me, did Rashiva talk about that? I said Rashiva never talked about kashrus. Rashiva never talked about keeping Shabbos. There's no shmuz on that. Rashiva talked about the amkus of chachma. You know, the shmuzim were always chachma. So topics that don't have amkus, they just black and white, just keep kashrus. You know what Rabbi Grunblatt said about not being mechal on Shabbos, Rashiva never spoke about. Say, well, Rashiva never spoke about it, so you see he didn't hold of it. Right? No, of course he held of it, but he didn't speak about it. Anyway, the Maisa, we definitely, there's a special achrayas. Obviously, there's achrayas on all Klal Yisrael, but I think there's a special achrayas on us to be careful on Lashon Hara. They say, I heard this from many people, they say, Talmid Rabbi Akiva died, Shenol Nogu Kovet Zabezeh. Right? That's, you know, from Pesach. That's part of the reason for the Avedas during Sfira. So the question is, why Bidavka Talmid Rabbi Akiva, of all people? Is there any special significance? So many people say, because Rabbi Akiva is the one that said what? Yekiva's Hashkafas Achayim was the Hatriacha Kamarcha. No Nogu Kavetzev is that was in Stira to Rabbi Akiva. So it could be other yeshivas also had the same problem of No Nogu Kavetzev is that. But there wasn't such a taina. But Rabbi Akiva's Talmidim, this is your yeshiva. And how can you be No Nogu Kavetzev is that? So it's a bigger taina. So I think, I don't know, I'm not the mystical judger, but I think there's a special taina on people learning in Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva not to be careful in Lashon Hara. It's like a stira. You know, every time you say, where are you learning in Chofetz Chaim? But, okay. Anyway, so I just want to run through a few quick ideas. First of all, if you read the Chofetz Chaim about Lashon Hara, why is the Chofetz Chaim so gung-ho, maybe that's the right word, about Lashon Hara? So it seems many reasons. He keeps on, you know, different places. He says different things. But he sounds like in a place it says that basically Lashon Hara is both as far as, for an average person, both as far as quantity and quality. In Averis, you can strike it big in Lashon Hara more than almost anything else. In other words, we'll take quality. Very, very few people actually go ahead and murder people, right? Murdering is a pretty bad avera. But you can almost kill a guy with Lashon Hara, right? You can ruin his reputation. You can make him mess up shidduch. You can get him to lose his friends, to lose his... And halachically, in Lashon Hara, is sometimes considered like killing a guy. So most people don't... The Gemara says that Lashon Hara is considered in Chomer Avera, Kineged Avodah Zarah, Gederah Shvichas Damim. Very hard Gemara to understand why that should be. But that's what the Gemara says. Right? There's a Mekubo I saw, who was a Talmud of the Gra, who says that because you do the Tumah depends on which part of your body does the Avera. So most Averas are done with your hands. Your hands are, like I say, animals also have hands. But your speech, only humans have. So the speech is somehow more connected to the neshama. So when you mess up the speech, you're playing around more directly with your neshama. And therefore it has a greater hashpo on the alamas al-yaynes, and therefore from a mystical point of view, it's a more chamra Avera. But be that as it may, it seems in the Svarim, even though we don't hear the criteria, what's chomer or not, is not up to us. It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it seems to be very many chazal that Lashon Hara, in the Igeres HaGra, right, anyone here familiar with the Igeres HaGra? What does the Gra say about Lashon Hara?
It's better to stay away from people.
But what does he say about the Avera? He says, Lashon Hara, I don't have any gears, I go here, I forgot to bring one. He says, Lashon Hara is the most chomer of every Aveira. Now, it's a shveri gears, I grow. How can you say such a thing? It's not Yari V'ayavar. They have that on their gears, I grow. But he says that. He says, of all the Aveiras, Lashon Hara is the most chomer of all the Aveiras. Why should it be so chomer? No, it's not up to you, you know. Up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are chazals. So Lashon Hara is apparently a pretty chomer aveira. It's also, as far as volume, it's even a person who does aveiras, there's limits on how many aveiras you can do. A person is mezaneh. So how often is it going to be mezaneh? You kill someone. How many people are you going to kill in your life? The Chal of Shabbos. Okay, but Lashon Hara, you can be over many, many times every single day. Right? And not only that, but if you basically say these lines that everyone likes to say, oh, the guys in the Hasidim, they're no good. Lakewood's no good. Chofetz Chaim's no good. Right? And you just said it's blanket statement. And let's say there are 10,000 people in that group that you just spoke about. So according to many people, in that one sentence, you just did 10,000 Lashon Haras, right? Because you just parceled all, everyone in that group. You said, oh, all Chassidim are da 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 da. Okay, so you just had a Lashon Hara about every single Chassid. So according to many opinions, this is, that sounds, but that's what I heard from Rav Abraham. He said this, that if you say a line like that, all you guys in or, you got in one sentence, he says, it's almost impossible to do. I guess you can drop an atom bomb and kill all the guys in Lakewood also, but, they can kill all the people. But in one sentence, you can basically say Lashon Hara. If there's 5,000 guys in Lakewood, you can, in one sentence, you can say some insult in Lakewood, and you can do 5,000 times Lashon Hara. Right? That's just one sentence. And if you write it in a newspaper, or you say it in public, so you also get the amount of people that heard it. So if you said it in public, and you said it in front of 10 people, and you said it's about Lakewood, so you got 5,000 people in Lakewood, then you just got 50,000 Lashon Haras, right? Because he told 10 people, right? So the numbers of volume of Averis of Lashon Hara is greater, probably what they say, that they say numerically, it's much, much easier. You can over on thousands of Averis, because it's for each person that you speak to, and it's multiplied by each person that you're talking about. So if you're talking about a group and you talk in public, you write an article on Yeshiva World News and you say having their Lashon Hara about some group, you just hit the jackpot. you almost can't do better. Okay, anyway, so we're definitely very chomer on Lashon Hara. Now, what's interesting about Lashon Hara is a very fascinating. This I do not know if people know. I'm just first trying to inspire before we get to practical suggestions. Right, that's how we try and do it. There's a sefer called Ikrei Adinim. Anyone know who wrote the sefer Ikrei Adinim? Who?
Dominus?
Yes, my favorite author. Right, there was a person, Rav Hominer, who I never met, but I met two of his very close Talmidim I used to learn from. So they were always quoted their Rebbe, Rav Hominer. So Rav Hominer wrote a sefer called Ikrei Adinim. Rav Hominer was apparently very, very big and careful in Lashon Hara. There was a vod in Eretz Yisrael called, I don't know what it was called, to help encourage people not to speak like the Chofetz Chaim Foundation in America, but it was such an Israel. It was started by the main Bawi Musser, and Rav Hominer was in charge of the Vod for many years. He was the person in charge of the Vod. Not Rav Hominer, Rav Avrami, who was his Talmud, was in charge of the person I used to learn with, the Binyan Item. Anyway, so Rav Hominer was one of the people that started the Vod. So they were very big. The Rav Hominer wrote a sefer called Ikrei Dinim. Ikrei Dinim is printed in the back of many Chofetz Chaims. Ikrei Dinim is a kitzer of the Chofetz Chaim. So if you want to just short read through the halachas, he goes in the same order as the Chofetz Chaim, but he just shortens everything to like one line. That he shortens it so you can much quickly review it. So anyway, in the beginning of Ikrei Adinim, he has a haskama from his Rebbe. The Homer's Rebbe, one of his Rebbe, and he was Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, the Reshiva of Eitz Chaim Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Kotler's father-in-law. And Rav Isser Zalman says a very, very fascinating aside. There's a pasuk that we like to sing. At least some of us like to sing. I don't like to sing anything because I can't sing. But I say Lashon Hara myself, but it's a tohela, so no one should ask me to sing. Anyway, there's a pasuk that says, Mia Isha Chofetz Chaim, Mitzor Neshon Chomeira, right? So there's a medrash that brings the following story, that there was a certain Amoira, I think, who was learning, and he heard someone in the street calling, who wants a fountain of youth? And everyone wanted to, I'm selling the fountain of youth. The secret, and everyone was trying to buy it from him. So he came out to see also. Sounds in the youth, that sounds great. And he basically took out a Sefer Tehillim, and he showed the Pasuk, Miyo Isha Chavetz Chaim, Mitzorah Shon Chameira. So this Hamayra says, I never knew Pshat in this Pasuk till now. So everyone asks, even it's even in the Chidush Alev, because it's the Alshach HaSekasha, everyone asks the Kasha, what did this Reichel teach this Hamayra? It's a Pfarish Pasuk. So Rav Yisrael Zalman Meltzer says Pshat like this. Most Averas, Pshat is, if you do an Avera, you're going to burn. You're going to get punished. Right? If you don't do the Avera, so you don't get punished. Okay? Very nice. But here, he said, who wants a fountain youth? Fountain youth means it makes you live longer. And he says, don't speak Lashon Hara. Which means that there's a chiddush by Lashon Hara more than other Averas. That not speaking Lashon Hara is not an absence of an Avera, but not speaking Lashon Hara is a positive mitzvah. And it's a tremendous skuda for living longer. Right? Happens to be the Chofetz Chaim lived, just for the record, we don't know how long. It's a secret. No one knows. It was over 100. But what? The people say we got over 100. I don't know. What do you say, 90s? 90 what?
I heard
94. Right. Rav Zuckerman said, I think it was a time of Chavetz Chaim, the Chavetz Chaim was much older than they say. Mm-hmm. But he didn't want people to know because he wanted to want an Ayin Hara. But he said he was way in his hundreds. That's what he said. He was much older. No one knows exactly when the Chavetz Chaim was born. It's like a little bit shredded in a mystery.
I mean, this Schar that you get from not speaking Lashon Hara, that's only when you're Makom Sayyid?
No, that's what he's saying, not like that. Because this is different than other Averis. It's a positive Schar. It's like it's a Maisa Mitzvah of not speaking Lashon Hara. It's like it's a positive thing. I don't know when the Gedder is, but yes, I think so. Now, that's a... I don't know mitzvah. We're not talking mitzvahs. We're talking about a mystical thing. Not speaking Lashon Hara is samachayim. It's not every mitzvah is like that. Every aver, if you're in a makom nisayin and you don't do it, you get a mitzvah. But there's a special miya isha chavetz chayim. There's a special thing. It doesn't say that by any other aver. It doesn't say miya isha chavetz chayim. Don't be Mechala Shabbos, because if you're Mechala Shabbos, you're going to be Chaya Misa. So if you don't Mechala, there's a special thing about not speaking Lashon Hara. This is Amin says that when a person doesn't speak Lashon Hara, there's a special positive Kedusha that a person receives, and that Kedusha gives you Arichas Yamin. So it's even when I think he went out in Nisayin. It's just... But anyway, the Gro says a similar type of thing too. There's an amazing schar for not speaking Lashon Hara. So there's, Lashon Hara is a very big negative. It's a big positive. Chutz mizeh, the Chofetz Chaim said this, we don't like to say this in public because people misunderstand it. There's a very big rule that no matter how big of a rasha a person is, if he does a mitzvah is a mitzvah, right? We do hold of that. Right, a guy can be a kofer, but if he's doing one mitzvah is one mitzvah. But even though we hold to that, we also hold that it's ain a daime to when Rav Chaim Kanevsky puts on tefillin, it's not the same tefillin that when I put on tefillin. Because even though every mitzvah is a mitzvah in a vacuum, but it's also a package. If it's a taryag mitzvah, is one package. And each mitzvah connects with the other mitzvah. Those who say the hirotzen before you put on your tawis, because you people don't put on a tawis. We say v'chol mitzvahs hatzuliyim ba. I don't think that's, and then it also in the hirotzen by tefillin. I don't think so. V'chol mitzvahs hatzuliyim ba. Anyone say hirotzen before putting on tawis? No. No, we don't put on a tawis. There's a thing that they say that basically every mitzvah is all the other mitzvahs are connected. It's a package. It's like a Sefer Torah. Every letter of Sefer Torah is Kedusha, but they join together to make a Sefer Torah. So the mitzvahs are interwoven. So there's a package. So the Chofetz Chaim says also, not to belittle a mitzvah with a guy who doesn't do mitzvahs, But a person who has a full package, it's much, much greater. And he says it's especially true about a person who doesn't speak Lashon Hara. Why is that true? Why is that true? Because he said if you speak Lashon Hara, Lashon Hara has the effect that it is mitame a certain amount your mouth. So when most Chavetz Chaim says 90% or 99% of the mitzvahs that we do are done with our mouth. All Talmud Torah is basically done with the mouth. Davening is done with your mouth. A lot of chesed is done with your mouth. Many mitzvahs we do in our mouth. But he says if you mitame the mouth, so then when later on you do a mitzvah with that mouth, so it's pogea slightly. I don't want to say, so what do I have to learn for? My mitzvahs aren't worth anything anyway because I speak Lashara. That's why you don't say this in public because high school kids will not understand and then they just won't do mitzvahs. But you guys are more mature. We're not saying it makes your mitzvahs worthless. It's just a mitzvah is worth a billion, trillion, zillion, gillion, and I'll have to get one of my grandchildren to know the bigger numbers, right, dollars. So if you're pogay and the mitzvah, so you only get a million, trillion. But that's a big difference. So when you speak Lashon Hara, it's somehow or another pogay and the mitzvah. If you don't speak of the Lashon Hara, it's the opposite. You just were mekanet your mouth, and therefore the mitzvah is better. Okay, don't leave us. Okay. That must be really bad. All right, so now we get to the practical point. So how do we go ahead and stop ourselves from speaking Lashon Hara? That is a million-dollar shaita that I think everybody wants to know the answer to. I wish I knew the answer also, right? Because I think almost everyone is already motivated. But how do we get ourselves to stop? So the Chofetz Chaim, and most of these eitzes are in the Chofetz Chaim. Okay. Chofetz Chaim, the first eitz that the Chofetz Chaim has is to learn Sefer Chofetz Chaim. Right? Why is that a good eitz? Because it keeps it on your mind. In other words, part of the reason why we speak Lashon Hara is because we forget. So it keeps it on your conscious mind. Now, if that's the case, then there's another thing you can do. Is you can have pay attention when you say in Shmona Esrei, every time you daven, we say, okay, right? Nitzor Shoni Meira, Fosach Amidaber Mirma. That's Lashon Hara. The first part, I assume. Mirma maybe is Sheker. But So if a person knows what he's saying, that, I don't say it has the same effect, but it's similar. The advantage also of learning the halachas is you know the halachas, except that most halachas, but a large part of learning Chofetz Chaim is not to learn the halachas. Because if you really want to know the halachas, I can just tell you, b'kitzer, it's usher. The most profane part of learning the Sefer is to remind yourself. Right. There is certain parts of Chofetz Chaim that are Nogeid Halacha. The last parak of each shar, of each, is about when is a mutter to speak Lashon Hara. So that is Nogeid Amaisa. But all the arrest, he just basically concludes that it's Aser. In this case, also Aser. Right? So, but the reason to learn it is because it knocks it into your head. So, the same way learning Chofetz Chaim is very productive, seems in the system, the Kabbalah of learning Chofetz Chaim twice a week actually comes from Radin. It's not a, it was a Kabbalah. It's in the Kisvei Chofetz Chaim. There's a letter that they accepted to do it, and all the Talmidim of the yeshiva signed on it. It's signed.
Did it start it later on in the yeshiva?
No. It started in Radin. I'll show you in the Kisvei. I'll try and show you. In the Kisvei Chofetz Chaim, you have a letter from the Chofetz Chaim advocating it, and then all the Rosh Yeshivas signed on, and all the Talmidim signed on. It was, there was a minig already from a long time ago. And it wasn't a Chofetz Chaim Chiddush. Our Chofetz Chaim Chiddush. Anyway, but I do think that the saying Nitzor Deshalni Meira with Kavana has a lot of the similar effect, because you're reminding yourself that you do not want to speak Lashon Hara. If you say Nitzor Deshalni Meira with Kavana three times a day, you are definitely ahead of the game. Okay. The second thing here, I got here, is, you know, I don't know which in order. There's a concept of obviously think before you talk, right? Now that's very hard, but we have to mention it. Very often you see people, they talk, and then they realize like, uh-oh, I shouldn't have said that, you know, because it's too late. It's sometimes humorous when a guy, you know, you're there and the guy said something, and then I remember I was once at a Shalom Zacher. I tell this story many times. I was at a Shalom Zacher, and there was a guy, guys love girls. They used to, in Queens, you have lots of Shalom Zachers, Baruch Hashem, lots of babies, and guys like to go to Shalom Zacher. It's free cake, you know, why not? So I was a single guy. I went to a Shalom Zacher, and the minhag in Queens is, you know, very often all the other kollel wines baked for the Shalom Zacher. So I'm sitting there at Shalom Zacher, and the guy next to me takes a piece of cake, and he starts putting on a show. Ooh, is that bad? Oh, do I pity the husband or the wife who made this cake? Ooh. And he sees the guy sitting right next to him getting a little white. Did your wife make this cake? I was just joking. It really happened. It was funny, but you know. Anyway, so people sometimes, you know, you say something and then, you know, you don't stop to think like what. So that it's a very hard thing, because regretfully we don't think, but it's definitely something to work on, to try and think before we talk. Okay, the Chafetz Chaim in the same place says, I don't know if it should, that for some people, it also includes in this to talk a little less. You know, there's people that are super yentas. It's almost impossible to think before they talk. You know, don't be such a yenta. No mitzvah to be a super yenta. But okay. Okay, obviously for people who talk normal, we're not telling you not to talk, because if you don't talk, you'll be, we don't want people not to talk. But people that are yentas all day long, there are people like that. There's a great story about a yenta. Okay, I'm a yenta. Okay, there's a great story about a yenta. Now, it's a steer because it's Lashon Hara. But okay, in the Mikor Baruch, there, Mikor Baruch is I keep on telling the guys that they should read the Sefer Mikor Baruch, because it's a great, it's a Torah Tamima, who was a gadol, wrote a book of his memories of his life. So it's like a storybook, which is a sefer. So he tells a story about there was an old-time maggid. The way the maggid used to support themselves is when there was a simcha, he would come to the simcha and he would speak, and then the baal simcha would give him a gift for helping make the simcha enjoyable. So there was a rich guy in the city who made a bris, and this maggid prepared a wonderful speech, and he came to the bris, and he was waiting for his chance to say this speech so that the Baal Simcha, one of the wealthiest guys in the city, would be mahana him with something. Now he's sitting at the bris, and there was another wealthy guy there who basically would not stop talking. He was talking, so there was no, it's a big yenta. So he couldn't get his speech in. And meanwhile, it's getting late, and the bris is about to come to end, and he's not getting his speech in. There's no one to do. So this guy's talking, and he says a story about the Gra. And he finishes the story, and then he's about to continue. So this maggid gives a clap. He says, Sheker! Got the guy quiet. So he said, how can you accuse me of lying? How do you know? Just because you never heard this story, it means it's a lie? He says, it's mukhrach. He says, if I never heard it, that means it's not in any of the Sfarim. So how would you know it? The only way you can know it is you heard it from someone, but you don't let anyone talk. Okay. Okay. So Anyway, but the mice, people do, you know, that was probably Lashon Hara. Not for me, but, you know, for that maggot, okay. Anyway, the mice, there is a thing of thinking before you talk. Okay. And we said, you know, a guy who talks all day, that is also not good. The Chofetz Chaim has another thing, but this is practical. And that is two more things there. One is there are certain guys who are Ba'alei Lashon Hara. I do not know who they are in this yeshiva this year. Maybe there's no one. But very often there is a certain table, you know, in the dining room. There's a certain table in the Beis Medrash. There's a certain person who is the king of the Lashon Hara, right? I mean, that's definitely the way it is in camp. You know, there's like one place, one group, and there's one person who holds Tish, and he speaks Lashon Hara about and everyone, you know. So there's very often, there's a person, an individual, a place, a table. So the Chofetz Chaim writes very much, you have to figure out where that place is and keep away from it. So let's say you're in the dining room and you go, you get your lunch and you're going to sit down. So you look around before you sit and you don't have to sit next to that guy because you know if you're going to be sitting next to that guy, you're going to be hearing Lashon Hara. You don't want to hear Lashon Hara, right? Then you hear Lashon Hara, you're almost going to be drawn into talk and hearing itself is Aser. So I'm sorry, some people I'm causing, no one's going to sit next to you anymore. I'm sorry. But he writes that very much, that you have to figure out the situations which will bring you Lashon Hara. Now, the same thing is included in that, is going to certain people's homes Friday night or Shabbos day. There are certain Baal Batim who have a reputation that they are speak Lashon Hara, right? They're regretfully. There are certain Baal Batim that are very Peshitta. They don't like Gedolim, right? I don't know why. They have this hang-up. They don't like Gedolim. And no matter who goes, there's a guy in one of the shuls. It's Billy Guzman. Anytime I go to certain shul in the neighborhood, if this guy sees me, he comes over to me and he says, Rabbi, can I ask you a question? And I know because he asks me the same exact question every time he sees me. What's better? A person who's moral but he's not so learned, or a learned person who's immoral. Right? Now, you know where this conversation is going, you know. And I go, oh, that's an excellent question. I just have to run right now. You know, good point. You know, I don't want to be near that guy. Because I know if I stay, you know, then they're going to hear, he has his agenda. Right? There are certain people, you go to their houses, there's certain houses that will always be, I can't tell you who it is because it's Lashon Hara. But guys should know. You go there once and you'll know. Okay. There's certain houses that there's always Lashon Hara. For some, the Bawa Buzz has an axe to grind, and he will always speak about against the yeshiva. He's upset with Rabbi Nyman because Rabbi Nyman once charged him too much tuition. He's upset with the Gedolim. He's upset with the Frum world. Something. And it's always going to come up. It's like a psik resha. So you don't go, you shouldn't go to those houses. It's a serious shaita. You know, if you go to a house and they're not serving non-kosher food, you don't go. To go to Chatzira, to a house where you know that the Baal HaBos, and you can't really argue with him because he's the Baal HaBos. If you argue, he has the last word because it's his house. So you just, when you argue, you just encourage him to go more. So the best thing is not to go to that guy's house. I'm sorry. So this was the Chofetz Chaim's eight says, to figure out the places. When a person does speak Lashon Hara, there's usually a cause. So to figure out why I spoke Lashon Hara, and then, or why I heard Lashon Hara, and next time, okay, the first time you're nitchel, you were in Aina, so to speak. But next time, don't put yourself in the same situation. You enter this guy's house, and you listen to a half-hour speech about how terrible Rabbi Nyman is, okay? But don't go again, you know? See, that's how Rabbi Nyman. Because anyway, okay.
What should someone do in that situation? Let's say you're there. Change the guy. Sorry.
You should try and change the topic. You should.
He's
I know. You got to try and change the topic. You cannot. There's nothing you can do. That's the problem. You can't argue with him because the people. This guy, you know, he is so worked up on this topic that the moment you argue with him, he's going to bring you 50 riyas that it's true, and he's going to bring you. So you're just going to encourage him to speak much more about the topic. That's usually what happens. You have to see. Use your judgment. If the guy is not so, but very often the person is so, you know, stark. And Fred, you're just a kid, and he's the power boss, and you're arguing with me. You know, I remember I once tried that when I was, you know, I tried to defend someone. You don't know half the story. I'm being very good. I'm not telling Lashon Hara. I'm not telling the whole truth. If you knew the half the truth, he did this, and he did. And I said, what did I do? So very often you cannot argue. What you have to try and do is, without the guy realizing it, you change the topic. You know, you hop on to something he said about, oh, that's very interesting. You were in Switzerland. Wow, that's amazing, you know? And you got to try and change the topic. That's the only thing that works.
And, embarrassing.
What?
Embarrassing. No,
you don't think you can embarrass him. I say you should embarrass him. You have to be smart enough to do it. Yeah, I think you're not saying, hey, you're speaking Lashon Hara. You're making believe like he said something in his tirade that, and you pick up on something which is not, and you try and change the topic. I mean, you try. You know, sometimes it doesn't work. Very often, you know, change the topic and he just goes right back to his old topic again because he wants to get that topic in. Sometimes there's nothing you can do. What can I tell you? You know. Okay, anyway. Now, the Chavetz Chaim has another thing, and then I want to get to, for us, a little bit practical, is that he says that one of the most important things not to have Lashon Hara is you have to develop a midah of liking people. He said that's probably the most important thing. If you like people, then you don't speak Lashon Hara about them, but even by mistake, because you don't speak about Lashon Hara about someone you like. It's just the way it is. You wouldn't speak, and you don't mekabel lashon hara about people you like. The problem is that we don't like people. Some of us, I don't want to say lashon hara, but some people don't like people. So you have to work on the midah of liking people, which is in a sense, anyway, a mitzvah after yachal gemeicha. Okay. So the question is, what do we do in yeshiva? So I don't know. I think that we gotta work more on lashon hara. You know, not speaking Lashon Hara. So I'd like to make a suggestion that we should have some group. We should work on it. We should figure out a way that we should to work on not speaking Lashon Hara as a group. Obviously not shy of everybody, but whoever, you know, there should be a group effort because it is considered. It's definitely when you read the Chafetz Chaim, he does seem to feel that of all things to work on, I mean, I guess learning is learning, but besides learning, it seems to have a strong feel that this is like more important than anything else. So, I don't know. I think we need to have open to some suggestions. I want the guys to think about it. What I would suggest, one suggestion, is that we make, some time to learn as a group, Chafetz Chaim v'Iyun. The question is when. I don't know when.
Together, or everybody just doesn't.
No, together, because otherwise, you know. No, I'm trying to say we'll be more v'Iyun.
Besides for Chafetz Chaim's
day? Either besides or during. In other words, 1 year I did this during lunch break, and about had a tremendous attendance, about two people,
including Rebbe or not.
No, the actual truth, I think I had four people. Okay, four people. But we learned like the last half hour of lunch break for one day a week. We learned the Ian. It happened a very nice Seder because we were delving into There's a lot of Ian in Chofetz Chaim.
Are you offering the same thing?
Yeah, but I just saying, when I don't know when. I mean, I could definitely do it during lunch, but I don't know whether the guys, I'm just, because I remember it from last time I did it, the guys were not so excited. It didn't seem like that.
One day a week.
I didn't think it's such a bad thing, you know. I usually try and learn during lunch. What? Yeah, but that's almost, that's like, no, because it's a little bit, we have to make it a little bit, some, a little bit serious now. Otherwise, it just becomes if it just becomes like the whole yeshiva, because everyone, you know, I don't want to go to Chofetz Chaim saying they're going to do this. It's like,
Lunch, a different sefer that people usually don't learn.
No, I think we can do the Chofetz Chaim b'Iyun. It's like they never learned it. You know, I think Baruch Hashem, we can. What I did last time, and I would do it again, is I wouldn't do the Chofetz Chaim. I would do his Hakdama. His Hakdama, he goes through the different mitzvahs and averus, and there's a tremendous amount of Iyun. You know, there's the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'acha Kamecha. What is the gather of that mitzvah? What is that? There's a mitzvah of not taking revenge. When does that mean? You know, it's very, very many of those mitzvahs are very ambiguous, very unclear.
What about a Friday afternoon?
Oh, no, I don't think my wife would like that. But maybe. Truth is, she doesn't have to know.
You're being recorded.
No. Okay. Maybe it could be Friday right after lunch. No. I can't do it later. Once I go home, I have to. Maybe if I stay a little bit before I go home, that could be. But I don't know. It's not really so. First time here, Friday. What? No, we don't do that because realistically, many people will not keep it, and I don't think. I think Yeshiva was against that. Yeshiva was against, you know. Well, I heard this from Rav Zuckerman too. A Kabbalah, Rav Zuckerman, I mentioned this during Edel. I don't want to keep guys over time. Rav Zuckerman held that Kabbalahs have a tremendous power if you take it seriously. But if you make too many Kabbalahs and then you end up not keeping them, so next year the Kabbalah becomes meaningless. So if you make a Kabbalah, you should really keep it. So if you sign on something, then you got to keep it. So to make people sign and then half the time they don't keep it, then you just cause people to lose the value of signing. So the Baalei Mussar, where you only use signing for like once in a lifetime. And then, you know, then you take it seriously. But you go with every idea, okay, sign for this, sign for that. I don't think they like that. Unless it's something very easy to do, like learning two halachas a day. Okay, I don't know. I guess it's easy. But sign that you're not going to speak Lashon Hara, that's very hard. And people are probably going to be nitcho sometime anyway. And then they realize, I signed, I didn't keep it. And then you're just you're destroying the chashivas of signing. I'm pretty sure they had this in Queens, and the yeshiva was against the guy signing. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we have to. That's what I want to do. I want to say we have to create an atmosphere that in yeshivas, Chofetz Chaim, you know, it's not really Chofetz Chaim, but everyone calls us yeshivas Chofetz Chaim. In yeshivas, Chofetz Chaim, Miami, there's an atmosphere. We do not speak Lashon Hara. Like that should be in our culture. That should be the culture of the yeshiva. Yes. Okay. Shikayah.